Great morning. It's been a good one so far, huh? Man, oh man. The worship nearly consumed the whole everything, which is good. We started the year that way, do you remember? Took our first Sunday and just worshiped, and that whenever that happens and we get to just worship, it's an awesome thing. I'm so thankful, and hopefully you guys have had a great week. I want to share for a few minutes something about what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. This would be part three of the kingdom, and I might need to extend it to part four. We'll see how far we get here today. Let's just take a moment, if you wouldn't mind with me, and just ask the Lord for help. Lord, thank you for what you've done in us. Thank you what you've done for us. Thank you that we get to worship. Thank you for your presence that we felt here today, for this touching of heaven. And what you're constantly doing, Lord, to give us the very best and to fill us, that we can trade everything that is the opposite of who you are for everything that you have. And we just ask, Lord, today that you would take us another place in you, that you would reveal yourself and what you have for us in new ways, that we would receive all that you have, that we would not be missing anything that you have. And Lord, we also give you permission to rewire us, to transform our minds, to change us from the glory of yesterday to the glory of today and the glory beyond and all that you have ahead for us. Thank you that you are powerful and loving and that you do this. And we just say, Lord, here we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, for those that I don't know, my name is Matt. Really good to have you guys here. It's just pretty amazing to me. As I look back, we just passed our 18th year here in the city, and it's just amazing how time flies, and very thankful for this fellowship of people, this group of people that I would rather be with you guys than anyone else, and that's true. I really love what God has done here and done inside of you and the friendships that we have here. As I jump into this, I'd like to just a little bit recap some of what we've been talking about. Not everyone has been able to be with us for the last couple of weeks. You can see it online as well. It will be up on our podcast also, where you can catch up on the last couple of weeks. But in talking about the kingdom of heaven, I wanted to, as a recap, you know, during the Roman Empire, which was this pseudo-counterfeit kingdom that came onto the earth, started about 30 years before Jesus came, before he was sent to the earth, they were starting to grow exponentially. Around all of the Mediterranean, about 70 million people, 20% of the earth's population, were dominated by the Roman Empire, the Roman kingdom, in a sense. And it was at that moment when God decides, of all times, after thousands of years of humans being on the planet, the Father says, now's the time. And he sends his son Jesus right in the midst of that. Under the layers of the Roman Empire and then a very religious Jewish system as well, Jesus is planted and birthed and grown. And as he is growing, the kingdom is growing as well. And the kingdom doesn't stop growing. Even after Jesus stopped at whatever height he ended up at, the kingdom continues on, and the scriptures talk about it's a forever thing that continues to grow throughout all time. But Jesus is the beginning of the kingdom. So it wasn't just, not as if he weren't enough, but he wasn't just a person coming as the Son of Man, fully the Son of God, but he brought with him the beginning of something that no one had ever seen before. And he came to bring the real. The counterfeit was the Roman Empire. The real was the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was bringing with him. And that kingdom is intended to touch every part of all things going on the planet and to fully take over at some point when Jesus returns. Jesus is the perfect representation of that kingdom. And when Jesus came, he said, he went into the temple, as he did, It says it was his tradition to go into the temple on the Sabbath. They handed him the scroll, which is, they didn't have the scripture like we have here today. It was in a scroll. He unrolled the scroll, and here's what he read out of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then he said, in your hearing, this is happening right now. Jesus represented everything that was the opposite of the Roman Empire, which was dominating, controlling. It was driven by food, by money, and by slavery. The desire for those three things to keep one group of people elite and wealthy. Jesus came, and what did he just say? He said, "I came to give the gospel to the poor, to release the oppressed, to heal anyone who needs healing." He came with the exact opposite spirit of this genuine kingdom of heaven. And then he said, to seek it above everything else. Seek this kingdom above everything else. This thing that's the opposite of what you see on the earth, what man comes up with. But over time, I would say that mankind has not always sought the kingdom. In fact, there probably are very few in light of all the numbers of people who've been on the planet who have sought the kingdom the way that Jesus described it, to seek it above everything else. And in place of not seeking it, everything gets turned upside down. Other things come into play. We talked some about this last week of communism and socialism, Hinduism, Buddhism, racism. Lots of isms come to fill the place where the kingdom of God does not exist and where that is not sought after, spread, and shared. Even building of great buildings and edifices and all of those things are no replacement for the kingdom of heaven, which is what we were told and encouraged to seek first and to spread, to share. Nothing compares to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the reign of God that's full of healing, wholeness, morality, joy, peace, power, love, life, wonder. Jesus brought it, and he gave it to us so that it would touch every part of everything on this planet. Our education system, all of our business, all of medicine, all of every relationship. The kingdom of heaven wants to invade everything and not be compartmentalized into a Sunday experience or just my worship with God. There's the kingdom there, and then I go back into the world and I do everything. No, the kingdom is supposed to invade like leaven into bread. It touches every part of it. That is what Jesus was intending. He said, seek it, pursue it. And yet, honestly, in my church experience, I met the Lord when I was 7. That was 43 years ago. The kingdom has not been talked about a lot in my church experience. We've talked about a lot of other things. There's been a lot of focus on other things other than what Jesus said for us to zero in on. This kingdom that is so huge, that's so large. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that today. In Daniel 7:18, Daniel prophesied something. This was 2,600 years ago, thereabouts. Daniel said, "But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come." Do you realize you have this? You have the kingdom. When you got Jesus, you got his kingdom as well. You will receive it. You don't earn it. You can't check things off of a list to get it. You receive it by faith. And when you have the king of the kingdom, you have the kingdom that he reigns over as well. And then as we're seeking it, we can give it away. When we pray for someone and they're healed, we can then say the kingdom of heaven has now leaked out of me and has come upon you. It's supposed to be our pursuit, our primary pursuit in our life, this wonderful, mysterious, robust, boundless kingdom of heaven. It's hard to describe. You can't just put it in a box. You can't just say, it's just like this. Jesus used about 12 different things he said it was like, and they're all over the place. Because this kingdom cannot just fit into a one short sentence of description. It's invisible, but it's unshakable. It's a thing that will last beyond every other thing that exists. It is a forever thing. That's what the scripture says. The kingdom will go on forever and ever. It doesn't diminish. It keeps growing. Can we all do something with me for just a quick second? Could you stand with me? And to the best of your ability, maybe for some it's 1 inch, half inch. For some, it might be a foot or 2 feet or 3 feet. If you could just jump as high as you can for a second. Okay, how much air did you get? We have people lying back here. Okay, you can sit back down. Thank you. So, I wanted to demonstrate something for you that's invisible. Gravity. If there weren't any, though you can't see it and we cannot explain exactly what it is, it's real. You just tried to leave the earth of your own power and accord and strength, and you could only get some this far, some this far, some this far, and maybe, you know, some of the athletes in here, we might get 3 feet off the ground. But guess what? Gravity takes over. There is something ruling in the air that you cannot see that is pulling you right back down. It's invisible, and there's no scientists on the, I've studied some of this and researched some of this, and no one knows exactly what gravity is. They know that the larger the mass of an object, the greater the gravity's pull becomes, but they don't fully understand it. I think it's because in Colossians 1:17, it says that all things are held together by God. I think he is gravity. It's holding us all together on this planet and throughout the whole solar system and the universe. You see this gravity going on. But we just experience something that's invisible but very real. The kingdom of God is a little bit like that. It is very real, and it has power that you cannot see, but its effect touches our bodies and every part of who we are. It's this kingdom of heaven. I've had dozens of people, literally, over the last several years that have visited this church and come to me and said very similar things. They didn't always say things like this. Sometimes it was that we weren't very friendly. That was way back. That's changed, thankfully. But now, more the things that I hear more than anything else are, I came to awake, and some people will say, when I stepped in the door, I felt something. I felt a presence. When there was worship, I felt freedom like I've never felt before. I felt safe. I felt the presence of God. I experienced something. I had a vision. I experienced God during worship or while someone was sharing. Though all of those things I've heard many, many, many times. And that isn't the presence of awake. That is a touch of the kingdom of heaven. Because all of those things are in the kingdom. And you and I are carriers of this kingdom. So as we together, carrying the kingdom, are worshiping God and loving each other, then the felt presence that's invisible, but it's felt, people then recognize it. Just as when I shared last week when I was in former communist countries, I could feel the presence of communism. I could see it in the eyes of people whose lives felt like they were just empty. You can feel it as you can the kingdom. The kingdom where exudes from us as we are connected to him, filled with him, and wherever we go, whether it's darkness, the light of this kingdom comes. There's a presence with this kingdom that you carry, whether you realize it or not. So when you get hundreds of people carrying the kingdom together, there's no way that the atmosphere cannot change. And people will feel it. They will sense it. They will know it. This kingdom contains the gospel. It's within the kingdom. Healing, freedom, liberty, righteousness, power, peace, joy, purpose, satisfaction. Everything that the mind, soul, and spirit desires is found in the kingdom. And then, according to Jesus, if you seek that first, all the natural things you need pursue you and find you. They chase you down. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added to you. Those things will come. But the kingdom is the satisfaction for every person of everything that you want and need. Soul, mind, spirit. And it sometimes is infused or comes suddenly. There are suddenlies in the kingdom. And then there is also the long processes in the kingdom. Jesus said it's like a seed, like a mustard seed. You plant in the soil. You don't understand it. All of a sudden it begins to grow. But man, before there are birds landing in the limbs of that mustard tree, there's some time. So some things happen slowly and some things happen quickly in this kingdom. When you're forgiven, you enter the kingdom and it's like your sins are washed away. Bam! That's part of the kingdom. Happens quickly. You're a new person. And then the changes of that being sometimes takes time. Every time I go to Africa, I've been there over a dozen times now. Each time I go, I take my camera. One of my loves actually is photography. I take a lot of photos. When we got married, my wife looked at all the photos that I had, and she still makes fun of me a little bit that they're all of nature. I have very little people photos. I've got tons of photos of nature because I love nature and all the God's handiwork. But when I go to Africa with my camera, now the digital cameras, I have a screen on the back of my camera. And when I go there, I will hold it up sometimes and take a photo of the kids that are always around. And then I'll turn it around and show them, and they come jumping, yelling, giddy, laughing. They're trying to see themselves. They crowd in and push each other, and they just begin to laugh. It's one of the best things. They are just going to gather around you. They want to do it again. They want to see themselves. What I'm doing is I am bringing from America. Actually, my camera's a Sony. So from being made in Japan, it's being sold here. I bought it. It's a mirrorless camera. I don't understand how it works entirely. But here's what I know. I charge the battery, I turn it on, and I press the button. And I take this technology that's beyond my understanding with me. I don't have to understand it all. All I need to know is how to use it. And then when I get to Africa and I use it and I show these kids, they go nuts. And I am introducing to them something from another world than they have, than a different world than they're used to. I'm exposing something, sharing something with them like they've never seen before. And I understand it a little bit. They don't understand it at all. And that's a little bit like this kingdom thing. Think about this for a moment. Jesus, before he came here, lived with his Father forever. However that works, backwards in time. They formed the universe together. Jesus knows how to make planets and stars and galaxies. He's done all of these things. Things that we are just looking at with telescopes, trying to figure out. What we don't understand black holes. Jesus knows. He created it all. So when he came to earth as the Son of Man and he grew up and realized who he was and began speaking and sharing, he is like bringing the technology that is so advanced into our world and our thinking that is so primitive. And he begins to share what life is really like. and power, how you really access that, and freedom and joy and all these things that we don't have an understanding about. So he talks about it over and over and over again over his 3.5 years of ministry. And then after he is raised from the dead, next 40 days of being able to walk through walls and all that stuff, he's talking about this same kingdom. He's sharing with us technology from heaven. Ways of doing things and ways of living that are beyond our primitive thinking, beyond our understanding. And instead, from there, man, we inserted, well, here's what I can do. I can control people. And that's what, instead of this kingdom that Jesus was bringing, this technology, in a sense, of using faith and love, which he said, love is the greatest of all. It's like the greatest weapon. It's the greatest power. It will never fail. That's technology we didn't understand. We didn't understand forgiveness until Jesus explained it. Jesus is bringing to us, talking about the kingdom of heaven, things that are beyond our understanding. But if we will seek it, if we will pursue it, that understanding will transform our thinking and our hearts and our bodies. And we will then the next step is, it will come out of us and we will begin being extensions of his kingdom here. He has given us this time, 2,000 years so far, to extend his kingdom to every place in the earth, to every government, to every city, to every neighborhood, to bring his kingdom, not just words of repent and you shall be saved and live. Once you die, you're going to live forever on a cloud playing a harp. That wasn't what he was talking about entirely. He was saying, there is a kingdom that you do not understand that I brought with me. When you receive me, you get it. If you will seek it, this kingdom with all these dynamics of freedom and power and peace and joy, righteousness, they will come through you and people will be healed. They will be set free. Demons will be kicked out. And he says, when a demon gets kicked out, you can say, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. That's what that is. That's what that is. So seek this, pursue it, go after it, because it's life for the world. And in these 2,000 years, as we're supposed to be talking about this, and our language changed. Our language is to be changed where we are kingdom-focused in our language. The things that Jesus talked about. Over these 2,000 years, this is what we're supposed to be doing, so that in that moment and in that time, when the Father then says, okay, it's time to go back to Jesus. He said he doesn't even know the day, the moment, the time, the hour. But there will be a time, just like when the Roman Empire had started to colonize, the Father said, now's the time to enter that, and let's bring the real. There will be a time, I think it's coming soon, when the Father says, Jesus, let's go back. And when he comes the second time, it's completely different than the first. He comes as the king of the kingdom we've been supposed to be extending and expanding and releasing to people so that he comes to rule and to reign. It says that every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he's the Lord. Not out of coercion, but when they see him, there'll be no way to do it differently. But this kingdom is what we're to be about. And as the days draw near his return, I feel the heartbeat of his kingdom beating louder inside my chest. That we need to be about this. When there are 1,000, more than that, there are millions of distractions. Millions of distractions, and the church has gotten caught up in a lot of them over time. I had a guy come into my office one day, and he said, what Bible do you use? I said, well, I use several. He said, well, you better be using the 1611 old, New King James Version, because that's the one Paul used. That's nuts. Every level of that is crazy. And we don't need to go into that. There are people so focused on a tiny part of their interpretation of something in the scripture, turn that into their gospel, and the kingdom doesn't get preached, and instead it causes division. Instead it causes a new denomination. It causes a new focus on something rather than what Jesus told us to focus on and to bring this beautiful, wonderful kingdom. Matthew 4, 23, here's what Jesus said. It says Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Matthew 9, 35, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom, Jesus says, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. You and I have a part to play in the end coming. We have a part to play in the Father saying, it's time, son, go back to the earth. And that is when the kingdom of heaven that Jesus gave us is preached in all of the world. He's not returning until that happens. Isn't that interesting? The word gospel really means the good, glad, merry news that makes someone want to leap for joy. That's the gospel. It's not some stodgy, boring something where your hair's parted a certain way and a sound is old time. That's not what we're talking about. The good, glad news that makes someone want to leap for joy of the kingdom. Us sharing the kingdom in its fullness and all that it contains, which is healing, which is power. The kingdom of God is not in words only, but it's in power. It's in joy. All of these things, when we are preaching that, then the end can come. And just a part of that news is salvation. Salvation is a beautiful, huge part, but that's just a part of the gospel of the kingdom, of the good news of the kingdom. Jesus, you know, he said to one person, you must be born again. Now, I think it's applicable to all of us. But he didn't just say that one thing over and over and over and over. He was sharing the width and the breadth and the depth of this kingdom to give away. And one of the reasons I believe why people get turned off by religion and by church is because we often just share something that's just so narrow, and it's in the by and by, it will be great. No! We enter into this kingdom now, and eternal life begins in this moment. And it goes on into eternity. And the kingdom of heaven has within it everything that satisfies every person. When Jesus returns, we get a glimpse of the future in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Here's this glimpse. It says that it will be announced upon Jesus' return that the kingdom of the world, which is where you and I are living right now, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. We get a glimpse of this kingdom that is coming, that is here now. The Bible says that we are, let me share this real quick and we'll end here. The Bible says that the kingdom is within us. Luke 17, 21. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And as we realize that, and as we seek it, It's within us, it's at hand, it's close by, it's near. It's also coming in greater measure upon the return of Jesus. It surrounds us. I love the Passion Translation that says it's accessible. You can reach out and touch it. The kingdom is that near. So we're to Our week one, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. We did the Lord's, said the Lord's Prayer together. It's where Jesus said, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, right? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. He said, pray it this way. So we're to seek it. We're to pray it. We're to receive it. We're to demonstrate it. And we're to proclaim it. It's part of what we're here for. And I've run out of time. So we're going to stop there. Would you mind standing with me? We printed some more sheets of this Kingdom Manifesto that we shared last week. It's in the family room. We don't have time to go through that today. But if you'd like to get one of those sheets, just look at it, read through it. You can proclaim it. You can talk about it. And I'm believing that God is, I know this is on his heart, has been for over 2,000 years since Jesus was on the planet, this kingdom, this is something to pursue. He's wanting our hearts to have this shift where we are pursuing what he told us to pursue, where we're giving away what he's given us to give away. So, Lord, we again just come before you and thank you for this day. Thank you for what you initiated. Thank you for what you began, what you started, and what you have left with us, inside of us, this kingdom of heaven, which has everything that we need and what other people need. Lord, I ask that you would cause us to dream about your kingdom. Reveal your kingdom. Lord, I pray there would be a hunger on the inside of us that would not be satisfied easily after your kingdom, that we would pursue it, that we would desire it. As we're reading your scriptures, we're saying, Lord, reveal your kingdom. When we see the clock and it says 6:33, we'd be reminded to seek you first, your kingdom above all other things. And you'll add everything else. I pray, Lord, that you would right the ship inside of every person, every heart, including my own, where the pursuit for other things would be shifted to the pursuit of your kingdom. And then you add other things. Lord, we just realign ourselves with that even now. And Lord, I pray for hunger and thirst to grow on the inside of us for what you have given us. I pray this would not be just a religious words or words that we just tuck away. But Lord, I pray that it would be the pursuit of our lives. And I thank you, Jesus, as the days are getting closer to you returning. Lord, prepare us, use us, save the lost, heal the sick, raise the dead. May the poor receive the gospel news of this kingdom. And Lord, I ask that you would use us beyond any way we've been used to date. Use our hands, use our faith. May our vocabulary change. And may your presence fill us, Lord. May we feel and sense your kingdom wherever we go. And may we go to places of darkness and that's difficult and bring your kingdom with us where we go. May the reign of Jesus move through us like light penetrating the darkness. Let hope invade hopeless situations. Let joy laugh its way into places of depression and oppression. May the reign of Jesus take place here on earth as it is in heaven. Use us, Lord. And Lord, for me and anyone else here, Lord, shake off any slumber, anything that's not awakened to who we really are and what your kingdom really is. You said in Ephesians 5, to awake, to rise up. Let Christ shine on you. Lord, we just do that today. And thank you for every single person here. Thank you for every individual, for every family, for every child, for every adult. Lord, I thank you for each one, and I thank you for the purpose that you've given in their lives to live so well, to live fully satisfied, to enjoy you, and to be ambassadors of this kingdom, brokers of the kingdom of heaven, giving it away freely. Let us see ourselves the way that you see us. In your wonderful, powerful, beautiful name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, guys, have a wonderful week. We have a couple of things available for you if you'd like to receive encouragement, encouraging words. We call those prophetic teams. They're out in the family room. If you'd like prayer for anything, come up front here. We have prayer teams that will minister to you, love on you, pray for you. Have a wonderful week. If you're fasting with me, enjoy that. I'm believing for good dreams for you, for revelation. We're doing in the middle of a 21-day fast here. Have a great week. Bless you.